All right, well, I think we're going straight to London now, where the former captain of England and part of the Fox Cricket commentary team, not sure if he's quite the captain of the team, but he's certainly one of the premier members, is Michael Vaughan. It's great to chat to him. How are you, Michael? Thanks for joining us.
I'm all right. I've just got to tell you, I'm not in London. I'm up north. It's like swearing saying I'm in London at this time. I'm up north and in around the Cheshire region there. Just getting used to another day in isolation. It's another day of gardening, a bit of weeding, dog walks, that kind of stuff. But isolation so far going okay.
I was just going to ask you, you've half answered the question, but what are you doing with your time and how are you coping so far?
Well, as I mentioned, I've got into gardening. Didn't even know what a mower was until last week. Couldn't even start it. So got into that. Found out where the shed was in the garden as well. Managed to open that, get a few spades out. Done my weeding. Walking the dogs, colouring in, got a colouring in book. Not done that for about 35 years. Playing a bit of games, got the chase game. This is a belter of a game for you lads. Cards of Humanity, that's the one to play. We play that late at night, a bit of Monopoly. Just kind of make do. We're on this house party with all our friends pretty much every day. Speaking to parents and obviously close relatives that are in isolation just to make sure that they can see the grandkids and have a bit of a conversation. We've got a new rabbit. Got a rabbit here as well, so...
What'd you call it?
It's all good in the Vaughan household.
What did you call the rabbit?
Bojo. After Boris Johnson, my little daughter thought he was doing okay until the last week or so. Getting the name changed.
Can you rename your rabbit, or what's the policy there?
Oh, no question. We can have. We'll have a Brexit. Don't worry about that. We'll just go again.
So what's like? You've been here, Michael... you've been here in Australia many, many times. Our streets are getting really deserted at the moment. What's it like in England? What are you seeing on TV when you do go out? Is everyone obeying the rules?
Yeah, I mean, up north, they seem to have been. Clearly, London, in more of a packed area, they find it a little bit more difficult, particularly with the public transports. I think people are starting to realise this is very serious and, you know, a week or so ago, I still felt when the lockdown came that people were almost trying to break the rules and just going about their day-to-day business as normal. I think the penny's finally dropped that, you know, we've got to take it serious. We've got to stay indoors. As I said, I go out walking once a day with the dogs. I've just been out for the first shop for a couple of weeks earlier this morning. 7 till 8 in the morning is for the vulnerable and the elderly. I had to wait in the queue. There's 2-metre lines outside our supermarket that you have to stay to. Then you're allowed in small groups. You're not allowed near anyone. You get out and you come home. And the streets, as you can imagine, are pretty deserted. And, you know, that's the way it's got to be. I mean, we've all got to be very disciplined in what we're trying to achieve. We're trying to beat this virus. It's going to take a bit of time. And it's the only way to do it is by staying at home, trying to entertain ourselves. I mean, it's in a funny way for a cricketer, it's something that we're not normally used to, being at home. And I've decided we've all got to try and take the positive from this. And the positive for me is spending a few weeks, it could be a few months, at home with the kids, with the family, just doing things that necessarily at this time of year I wouldn't be doing. So that's the positive that I'm taking.
Timing's everything in life, Michael, and obviously over here, when this has hit, it's massively affected all the sports, but our footy season and the same with the NRL going into their main season, it's had a catastrophic effect on the industry. Cricket, on the other hand, over here, obviously they're going to have time on their side, and the potential is that they could still get a roughly regular season away, although obviously it's the reverse where you are, and also the IPL is such a big, and India, I mean, who knows what's going to happen there? So big question marks over how this is going to play out for cricket.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday our board, the ECB, announced a $61 million bailout for all the counties, 18 counties in the UK. And, you know, they're going to get bailed out over the course of the next few months because, you know, it's going to hit our game massively. As you said, it was meant to start, you know, in a few days' time, county cricket. There won't be any cricket here for at least 2 or 3 months. I'd be amazed if we see anything like the schedule in terms of the international schedule that was written down. You know, Australia were coming for some one dayers, the West Indies, Pakistan. We have the launch of our new 100 tournament here. That won't happen. I'd be amazed if we see any county 4-day cricket. I think the best case scenario in the UK is A little bit of international cricket, potentially in August and September, and I would guess possibly behind closed doors. If we can get that on the TV screens, at least the TV money comes in for the international games, and maybe the Vitality Blast, which is our T20 tournament here for the counties, maybe they can get that played in August, September. I think that's the best case scenario. But you know, the CEO of the English board yesterday, Tom Harrison, he basically stated that we must prepare for no cricket at all, because you've got to prepare for the worst case scenario. And if the scenario is that we can get some cricket in August, September, great. But you know, it's just about making sure people stay healthy and do the right thing and help out those most vulnerable. The IPL is really interesting because for me, it's a massive economy for the game. You know, cricket needs the IPL. And I would be amazed if that's not pushed back to later on in the year. It could get to the stage where the IPL is played around September, October, and it's used as a warm-up tool for the players going into that T20 World Cup in Australia. I wouldn't be against that because I'm a big fan of the IPL. I think it brings so much to the game. I think it brings so many revenue opportunities, obviously for India, but for the players. I would be for the IPL if they can, and everything's safe by them being played before that T20 World Cup, to give the players those few weeks of playing T20 cricket going into what I hope can still be a magnificent T20 World Cup in Australia, as the Women's T20 World Cup has just shown. It's a great country to be playing that kind of brand, great stadia, get a huge amount of support. Let's just hope it's cleared by then and that T20 World Cup can take place.
Michael, this break gives you a ripping opportunity to catch up with people you've been critical of, making that shift from a player to a critic of the game to a commentator. This break might give you a chance to just extend the olive branch to a couple of players that maybe are on the dark side of your criticism.
Who are you talking about?
I'm sure there's a few.
Certainly not just two. There's about 150. I mean, like in broadcasting, in commentary, and once you decide to go down the route of being a commentator or a pundit, you know, you can't be a cheerleader. You've got to say what you see. You have to have your opinion. If someone doesn't play to the star that you would expect, or you know, has a rough time of it, of course you have to give a reason or have an answer to what could be done better. I generally am only ever really critical of attitude when I see that the attitude isn't right. I understand at the highest level in all sports it's difficult, it's so tough. You know, I've been watching a lot of sporting documentaries over the last week or so, and it's kind of a reminder, you know, how tough professional sport is. But you know, in our positions, you know, you've got to be able to say that that's not right and that player's not quite putting in at that time. And you know, if it upsets one or two, that's the nature of the beast. I'll carry on doing so. I hope in time. I also praise quite a lot of players as well. It's always the negative comments that grabs the headline. But I'm sure that if you kind of dissect a lot of what we all say, particularly on Fox Cricket, we try and be fair. We try and give a fair assessment of the player, of the teams. And if now and again we have to be critical, we have to do that as well. So we're just trying to be fair.
Right, we're all watching games and matches of our sports from the past. If you had in front of you five documentaries, five highlights packages of Viv Richards, Shane Warne, John Bradman, Curtly Ambrose, and Sir Garfield Sobers, which one would you put on and watch first?
Well, without any question, I always say this. If I was picking the world's greatest 11 of all time, number one in my pick would be number 8, Shane Warne, without any question. It's not just because he's a pal. Wonderful leg spinner, changed the game, slogged a few at number 8, caught a few at first slip. But more importantly, he was engaged to Liz Hurley. That's what makes him the greatest of all time, in my
opinion. Warne will start tweeting in a second.
We had a virtual tour of his house the other day. I know you've been there, but when Warne talks about we're all in this together, we're kind of not really. We've kind of got different places to be in this, haven't we?
If he does not change the name of that house to Isolation Palace... I'll be amazed. It's a staggering piece of living space. He was actually Instagramming me the other day. He's got one of those indoor golf simulators now, just to make it that, as if the pool, the games room, the bar, the nightclub, as if that's not enough. He's now got a golf course in his house. He's he's a beauty.
Liverpool get awarded the championship or not?
Nah. Nah. Let him go. No, of course. Tongue in cheek. You know, I think many are having a great deal of humour about the expense of Liverpool and Leeds United also in the Championship, yes. Because great clubs, huge traditions, massive support, and obviously with that you get a lot of jealousy. No question. You know, whatever happens, Liverpool should be crowned champions. Look, I'm sure the Man United fans, Chelsea fans, all the fans around the country will be, as we speak in isolation, thinking of songs to sing about the fact that Liverpool never won the league, even though they had won the league. And that'll come out over the course of the next few seasons. But no, I think you've got to be fair in sport. When you get so far in a season and you get a team that's so far ahead, I think it'd be wrong for them not to be crowned champions.
Michael, we appreciate your time. We love your work on Fox Cricket. Hopefully we've got a season for you to come back and commentate for us again next year. Enjoy if you get cards against.
Are you going to get this? Get that for your isolation. Yeah. When you get into full lockdown like we do, this is what you need at 10 o'clock after a few jars. Get into that.
Thanks for joining us, Michael.
See ya.
See you later.
Michael Vaughan.
What a star.
Fantastic. Absolutely.